The fourth gate out of the labyrinth of fear is to feel the fear and do it anyway. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I've lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along." You must do the thing that you think you cannot do. Our friend Susan Jeffers wrote the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, but I want to go back one picture in her life and say how that came to pass. But she wanted to have a party where you visualized who you were going to be 5 years from now, and everybody had a dress that way. And then everybody else at the party, and there are hundreds of us there, had a talk, walk, act, smell, feel, and support you in the vision of who you wanted to be. Well, Susan, bless her sweetheart, came there dressed like a queen, but she was carrying 4 or 5 books under her arm. And she says, "These are my bestsellers. And I've just been interviewed here. I've just had that picture on the front of Vogue magazine." And everybody supported her. Everyone cheered her on. And then her dreams came true.
What Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, is about is the concept that you can simply feel the fear and do it anyway. Now, what does that mean? I like to tell a story about when I was learning to dive. I was up on a diving board. My father was at the side of the pool. There I was, standing on the board. I'm about 6 feet tall. I'm looking down. There's about 3 feet to the water, and there's about 8 feet to the bottom of the pool. Now, it looks like it's a 3 feet jump, but when you add 6 and 3 and 8, that's a pretty deep dive. I look over at my dad, and of course I said something like this, "Dad, I'm looking down here. This is very scary. I don't think I can do this. What I want to do is go see a child psychologist who specializes in fears of jumping into liquids from high places. You will help me do that, won't you?" He said, "Of course not." Now, of course, I didn't really say that either. What my dad said was, "Look, jump." Now, feeling the fear, I jumped, and I survived. I didn't die. I got up, and I did it again. And after 5 or 6 times, it started to get pretty interesting, started to get fun. So often as adults, we feel the fear and instantly we say, "Oh, if I'm feeling fear, I'm not supposed to do it." So the key here is that action conquers fear. I have a friend, Michael Hesse, who started self-esteem seminars with me, and he was working with a therapist named Steve Heller. In addition to doing work in the office, they had to go out and do what they called real-world exercises. One of them, which seemed kind of dumb at the time, was to walk down a big street and stop somebody and ask them where that street was. So if he was on Wilshire Boulevard, he had to stop and ask a complete stranger, "Can you tell me where Wilshire Boulevard is?" The two things that he experienced were this. In spite of feeling like a complete idiot for asking the question, people didn't treat him like he was stupid. In fact, people usually smiled and were friendly. They were very nice and seemed to be happy to be asked. They'd say, "You're right on it." And Michael would say, well, thank you." And he'd go on, and that would be it. It wasn't like anything terrible happened by asking a dumb question. Most of us are so afraid of appearing dumb that we won't ask for what we need. So all these exercises were to break him through. The second one was, he said he was discovering that people actually enjoy being asked if they knew the answer. He thought it reaffirmed their intelligence and usefulness. You could do the same thing in front of a 7-Eleven store. "Can you tell me where a 7-Eleven is?" And they would say, "Well, there's one right there." Then he'd simply say, "Well, that's right, thank you." Now, the purpose was to overcome his fear of being foolish and looking foolish by asking a question. And as Michael said, it worked. Michael is now one of the most amazing askers I've ever met in my life. One of the other techniques that we teach in our seminars is a little phrase that goes like this. We ask people to get into the very serious kind of meditative posture, to put their finger and thumb up, to close their eyes, and then we say, "Repeat after me." And we go, "Oh," and everyone starts to go, "Oh," and they think it's going to be this deep meditation. And then we say, "Oh, what the heck, go for it anyway." And then we have everyone repeat that. And what that's about is whenever you're afraid, this is the mantra that will free you. Just, "Oh, what the heck, go for it anyway." I taught this in one of my seminars. A lady in the seminar owned a school for emotionally disturbed kids. She goes back to school on Monday, and she needs to go to the bank. She's down at the bank, and she realizes, you know, I need money for the school. This is a bank. They have money. Banks give away money sometimes. So she started to walk up the stairs to talk to the president of the bank to see if he'd make a contribution to the school. About halfway up the stairs, all the little voices started in. "You don't have an appointment. You're not dressed right to see a banker. You're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. They're just going to say no. It's probably not the right way to do this. You don't have an application. There's no funding cycle. How do you know when it's the right time? All that stuff started going. And then she heard in the back of her voice, oh, what the heck? Go for it anyway. And she said, I continued up the stairs. I went to the secretary. I said, I know I'm not dressed right. I've only got a few minutes for this. I won't take time, but could you get me in to see the president for 2 or 3 minutes? Fortunately, he wasn't on the phone. They took me in. I made my little pitch. They called me back a week later, and they said, normally we don't give grants in the middle of the quarter because we have this whole funding cycle that we do. But your request was so interesting and so good and so meaningful, what you're trying to do. I know you asked for $10,000. We're only going to give you $4,000. But if you'll make another grant request at the end of the quarter, we'll get you the rest of the money. Well, now she's really excited. She thought, wow, you ask, you get. So then she said, we need a van. So she called up at that time, the L.A. Raiders, and she said, you guys have a lot of money. We want you to give a van to our school, and we'll put on the side, donated to the such-and-such school by the Los Angeles Raiders, and that'll give you some good PR. And they said, we'll have to call you back. And a week later, they called her back and said, you got your van. And she says, while I have you on the phone, we do this celebrity tennis tournament every year. Do you think I could get a few football players? And they laughed and said, you got it, lady. So she felt fear. She had all the considerations, but oh, what the heck? You go for it anyway.